Hey guys, it's Patter here from today's episode. Just a little warning, today's episode deals with a little bit of bone chicka wow wow. So if you've got some smallies there or people not used to mature themes, you may want to just wait until later, maybe dim the lights, pour a nice little chablis, light a fire, kick your socks off or keep them on if that's your thing, and get ready for some of the finest love poetry you've ever heard.
From Heads of Studios in Dublin, welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast of words, Irish, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I'm Derek O'Shea.
I'm Sean Nguyen.
And I'm Padraig Quivonic.
And you're all very welcome to today's episode. Sometimes people ask me what would be a nice book for someone who's getting back interested in Irish. And, you know, and some people wonder, is there a good novel to read, or should they go with a graphic novel or something like that? Are there short stories? And some people don't want to read a kid's story, but they want something with simple Irish or not. What I found was something that worked very well for me. I just happen to be very interested in poetry. Very interested in poetry. And I found that reading side-by-side translations, I did it when I was reading Pablo Neruda. And I found it was also handy when I was getting back into Irish. There's a wonderful poet you almost certainly have heard of called Nuala Ní Chonaill. And in 1990, the collection came out called Pharaoh's Daughter. And this was side-by-side poetic translations of some of her work. And the translations were by some of the finest English language poets in Ireland. Sean, tell us more about Nuala.
Nuala Rua is originally from Tipperary, but spent a lot of her youth in West Kerry in the Gaeltacht. So she speaks like somebody from West Kerry does. And she's a member of Éis Dána, and she's one of our most foremost poets maybe ever. It's handy that she's still alive and she's still creating. And actually, amazingly, she was awarded a massive award this year, an international award. And it's the first time, I think it was the first time for a woman to be presented the award, and also somebody in minority language. So it was kind of a dual win for Nuala. I'll tell you what it was now. I think she was presented in Estonia. She's an amazing woman. And the writing has, if anything, got better and better over the years. And she's been a feminist icon, I think, for a lot of people in the literary circles for years and years and years.
Yeah, Nuala is one of the most important cultural icons we have in the country, regardless of the language that she speaks. It's just the nature of what she speaks about. And as well as that, her openness to having her message translated. It just makes her that vital. Like Biddy Jenkinson has this little knock onto this little saying that she has, where she says that she would prefer not to have her poems translated from Irish in Ireland. She would find it personally insulting. Now, she doesn't find it insulting that other poets do. Nuala takes a different approach, and people have translated her poems. Like Pharaoh's Daughter, you pointed out, and we'll get a chance to have a look at that later on. It's poetic translations by some of the finest poets that Ireland has ever produced. She's had Frankie Sewell translate a lot of her poetry as well, and Frank is a writer and a poet himself, so he's got that great background in poetry as well. And basically, while she has this incredible command of language and that kind of West Kerry, it's mellifluous the way the poetry is. It flows.
It's very sensuous, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. She's definitely one of the most sensuously driven poets in the Irish language ever. As Sean says, it's great that she's still creating and all that. But you take that aside, when you translate that, you cannot possibly translate how someone from West Kerry speaking Irish sounds. You can't translate that. But you can translate the sense of a poem, you can translate what she wants to say, you can translate the message, and there's very interesting ways of doing that.
There certainly are. And obviously, when someone speaks English and Irish and they choose to write in Irish, I do respect Biddy Jenkinson's position. And sometimes you think, when you've gone to the effort of writing something in a particular language, your first instinct isn't, oh, I wonder how well does it get translated. So the fact that for a project like this, to actually have almost a collaborative relationship with other poets, it's, writers rarely get to work with other people. It's a lonely road.
Yeah, it is a lonely road. And I think choose...
Not all writers have podcasts, you see.
That's true.
That is very true. The prize is called the Herbert Prize. She was presented this year, and it's a massive international prize. But I think that the one thing that stands out for me with Nuala is how open she is about the female form. And I think that comes through in The Pharaoh's Daughter and in other collections. And it's something that maybe the Irish language has given her freedom to talk about that maybe she wouldn't have had. And I'm not putting words in Nuala's mouth, I wouldn't dare. But I feel like the language has given her freedom, and the way she talks about the body, and in particular the female body and sexuality and sensuality, is quite amazing.
This is the big thing. When we were in school, and we had been told, famously, a translation of A Court in Mania was banned in English but was available in Irish. And the idea was that a blind eye of sorts, or was turned towards sexual writing in Irish, or writing with a sexual with a sexual topic in Irish was done at that time. Nuala is especially famous for that, particularly some of her poems about her husband.
Yeah, Dogan Leflef. I always remember that name. He was Turkish, wasn't he?
Yeah, and really sexy, if you believe the poems. Like, really.
A big ride. Yeah. Knockmaran.
She couldn't keep her paws off him, it seems.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for them.
Fantastic, but this just, it's not...
Chasing him around the Celtic.
Up and down Crochrenan.
Yeah. Is that a metaphor?
That's a pilgrimage. Yeah.
It certainly was. It was a spiritual experience. Writing about sex and sexuality, and writing about sex and sexuality from the female position, even if it's heteronormative, from the female position, just adds to the great corpus of Irish poetry, because this is something that's been done even by male poets for hundreds of years. So it is not as shocking to read poetry about sort of, and it's not, this poetry isn't graphic.
It's beautiful.
And it's definitely not gratuitous. So, you know, you're just adding to a great long list of poems. You mentioned Cuairt an Bheannaithe, but even hundreds of years before Brian Merriman and Cuairt an Bheannaithe, the idea that a poem would be written about a king at his crowning or enshrinement as king, and the poem would be written from the point of view of the land, embodied as a woman. So the poet would write about how there's one example that I learned during my master's that sticks out. It's called Avrini Ruach Moroa Lanon, Brian O'Rourke, My Choice of Lovers. And they're talking about King Brian O'Rourke of the Breffni country, Cavan and Monaghan, and talking about how great a man he is, and how strong his arm is, and how long his spear is. And, you know, and the poet would do this. And, you know, when you bear in mind that this is written by a male poet, it comes across as vaguely homoerotic, but the idea, a lot of scholars believe, is that actually they're writing from the point of view of the land, which is a woman, and it's a woman actively saying, I choose this man as my lover, and I will enter into a sexual relationship with this king. So Nuala writing about how much she loves to jump her husband's bones is basically just an extension of a 1,500-year-old literary tradition.
Yeah, because she was on Saoirse Leas and Radio na Gaeltachta when she was presented that award, and Helen Ihe asked her about being a female writer and being a female poet and how she felt about it. And she said that she found the Irish language landscape was more forgiving than the male. Mm-hmm. And she actually referenced that the word bon illa is in Antoine, whereas a female poet, that term didn't exist for a long time, according to her, in the English lexicography. So she feels that the landscape was more favourable to women since the time of the Antoine, because that word actually existed in the lexicography. So
interesting.
Yeah, Bonilla, much, much older than poetess.
Yeah.
And much nicer than poetess.
Yeah, and much better Bonilla. Than female poet. Yeah. A bit weird.
I had someone correct me for saying Bonrean instead of just Rean, as in the idea that a monarch was gender neutral, and some lad was
Jesus.
Like... And then he replied to me, and it's that the last kind of the last line of his tweet was, be better or stop.
What a threat.
We can't just talk about Nuala and her husband and him as a subject of her female gaze. That actually, let's visiting. Will we maybe look at one of these poems?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at Gan do Chuid Éadaí.
A Gan do Chuid Éadaí. Is fardam tú Gan do Chuid Éadaí ort. The leina hiada is the carwat. The scofarhine fi tascal is the chully trí fi sa fashanta le barfiaus tóluruachta. The vroga irmiin the gonis nas, the lovini krekin elite the vush. The hata crombi, ferke fuir na clusha, ni churin siid ein ruinia le dhurishk. Mar hís fuhu ingan is dan slua ta kerp gan washla mochal nu mi wua. Lufrocht anvi alta, cat mór a vina mós níhe, is a ógan skevle in a varvro. De rúrinef lahan farsing, is de hív chó slim leis nachta séte ernslíif. De grim, de vasta shingal is de gaul, an rúta gúil bár pléisúra an. De chrakan atá chódarka is slim, leis líalda gamach tjus velvete in a chníif, is sé ar cúrocht argad lúchra, nú maagna haun. Gnéirtar fí gúil súha far is banan. Marsin is dá rí sin is sú rinca lum an nocht, cé go marlam tú ganda chu déíirt, béidir nar bhéon díháil deit gléasa inis ar an dúirt, inionad leth ban éan a bhuile is a lit. And I'll read it in English.
Oh.
Nude. The long and short of it is I'd rather see you nude. Your silk shirt and natty tie, the brolly under your oxter, in a case of a rainy day, the three-piece seersucker suit that is so incredibly trendy, your snazzy loafers and la-di-da pair of gloves made from the skin of a doe. Then, to top it all, a Crombie hat set at a rakish angle. None of these add up to more than the icing on the cake. For unbeknownst to the rest of the world, behind the outward show lies a body unsurpassed for beauty, without so much as a wart or blemish, but the brilliant slink of a wild animal, a dream cat, say, on the prowl, leaving murder and mayhem in its wake. Your broad, sinewy shoulders and your flank smooth as a snow on a snowbank. Your back, your slender waist, and of course, the root that is the very seat of pleasure, the pleasure source. Your skin so dark, my beloved, and soft, as silk with a hint of velvet in its weft, smelling as it does of meadow sweet or water mead that has the power, or so it's said, to drive men and women mad. For that reason alone, if for no other, when you come with me to the dance tonight, though as much as I'd prefer to see you nude, it would probably be best for you to pull on your pants and vest rather than send half the women of Ireland totally round the bend. That was a Paul Muldoon translation.
I love it.
Round the bend, I love that.
There's so many great words in there, and it's such a powerful description. And you can
actually imagine him in the hat and everything, and the three-piece suit. Maybe that's just me.
I was imagining him without them, like, Jesus. It's a lovely, it's a beautiful picture of love
and intimacy,
physical love and intimacy, which is a lovely, wonderful thing,
it's a poem about someone, about being in love and very attracted to someone you know very, very well.
Exactly.
Like, she's not whistling on down, walking down the street on his way to work. He just wants to go to work.
I can't see Nuala doing that, whistling at somebody going down the street.
I can see her whistling at him.
Please, Nuala, not again. We've spoken about this.
The bus driver's going to make fun of me.
And there's one of the words in this poem has received a bit of attention recently, and it's a word that maybe that doesn't exactly have an English language equivalent.
Father has a version of it in English.
Yeah. You're talking about the word cúrucht. Which does have an English language equivalent. It is weft or aroma or musk.
Stanknacha.
But in this it's stank, yeah. Because look, and what I love about the poem is that her husband's nudity, the nude body, is not just a visual experience.
Mm.
It's not just a visual experience, it's a physical experience, and it's also a, shall we say, a nasal experience. That there's an aroma, there's a perfume, I know the look of you, I know the feel of you, I know the taste of you, and I know the smell of this idea of this smell of you know, your skin, the smell of your skin, soft as silk with a hint of velvet, and the smell is like meadow sweet or water mead, two flowers that have mystical powers, like, so cúrucht airgid luachra, the sort of that post-coital ecstatic smell of your body, that's like a sweet smelling wildflower.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Just love it.
Yeah, more Nuala eroticism.
Absolutely. So, Pater, do you have while we're looking through this collection, is there another one that tickles your pickle?
Yeah, there's loads of poems in this that I love. It is a great book. It's a great gift. And there's loads of these books about, if you go to the Schopenhauer, our good friend Kathleen will look after you. But there's plenty of these poetic collections. I have a lovely one at home, Laura and Jean Gwala, the Book of Dispossession. And it's a collection of modern and old Irish poems with you know, side by side translations, which are fantastic. And translating poetry is it's a challenge,
yes.
Because you're always left with this one. See, I'm speaking from experience. I've translated poetry. I used to live in Austria, mm. and I translated the works of a wonderful Austrian poet called Andrea Edel, who became the first female Austrian to be inducted into the German version of Eisthona, which is called Valhalla, quite heroically.
Because of course it is.
Because of course it is. Because the Germans. But Andrea is a wonderful woman, a wonderful poet. And I translated her poetry when I was 19. And, you know, when you're a 19-year-old man, you think you can do absolutely anything. So I just went and balls out translated it. But I didn't realise at the time...
You need life experience to translate poetry, don't you?
You do, and definitely. And I know I do a better job of it now. But anyway, look, it was a good enough job for publications. Yeah. It was grand. I got paid. I did it. But at the time, I didn't realise it. But I was constantly going through this choice, this dichotomy of choice. Do I translate the rhyme and the rhythm, or do I translate the sense and the meaning, and what do I do? And you have to choose based on what the poem is. You've got to read a poem, you've got to live inside a poem, you've got to understand what it is. So when Nuala writes this poem called An Iliacht, or Poetry, you know, Tom McIntyre translates it into English, and what you end up with is an exercise in how both languages, and as a direct consequence, the poetry of both languages are completely different, and how the Irish one is mellifluous and long and has alliteration and repetition and all that, whereas English poetry is glottal, direct, and kind of almost heartless in a beautiful way, if you know what I mean. So I'll read An Iliacht, and you'll even just get, even if you don't understand the words in either language, you'll understand the difference sheerly from the length of each poem. So, An Iliacht le Nuala Ní Gonal. Éin clipia hurling law, harshing na fanóga chum. Neadha cadas a dánig sé, no cong áo sé, na rág sé, fóhan marúm. Cretar ín sciateo chríca lochlan, di yen sé neadgó féin go fachiloch, istig mo wachlan. Do valig funiv, Funyv no gur chanse skull, a hiol a davrov me, is stach a dear narvol. Dum sir here sheer na play, arch grosag dull, ar of law no ihe a, no carasadon a gacule. I dave heard ng yalig, is a dave heard ng rain, in orgin of ilan the huha crave. Neither cor imixe no few can, vise etilte nor gushius ermagin. Os gleam coal on a fanoga, is her a darshing. Fog a meshin firishke is grani ruchrenachtan. And Tom McIntyre's version poetry. Almost spent, the little bird landed on my windowsill. Don't know where from, don't know where gone. A scantling. He nested, circumspect in my arms. Got back his strength, began to sing. I lost myself, lost day and night. Followed the music, east of the moon and west of the sun. And oh, red ripe the garden, oh. When I awoke, he was gone. I open my window, I place on the sill the bowl of water, the reddened grain. So where Nuala in the original Irish uses, like, why use one word when 40 will do?
Yes.
You know, Tom McIntyre says, well, English poetry is done slightly differently. It's a little bit more boom, boom, boom to the point. So you get this, Nuala says, Creatarín sciotaha o chrícha lochlan, which translates as a scantling, which is just—it's just a study in linguistics. Mm-hmm. It's a study in language, and it's McIntyre in this sense saying, "Well, I'm going to go for the meaning. I'm going to go for the meaning
time." I'd love to be there when they're discussing how people are translating it, and Nuala going, oh, that's very short.
It's like the English version.
Scant.
There.
Yeah,
you're very scant. Tom, you're being paid by the word.
It is brutally succinct, but at the same time, there's an additional layer of meaning there in that they're using kind of, you're saying, like the Scandinavian loanwords in both contexts.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, because you know, Creatarín sciotaithe ó chrícha lochlan was how she describes this bird that lands on her windowsill, which is a skimpy little creature from the shores of Scandinavia,
Viking land.
Exactly, from ó chrícha lochlan, from the Viking lands. And McIntyre says, well, I can just use the word scantling, which has that Nordic sound to it and means a scrawny little bird. So It's interesting, and it's a question of word selection, word choice, and, mm-hmm. and like in Irish we use, like if we wanted to say generous in Irish we say flahul, and if we wanted to say really generous in Irish we say feel flahul, which means generous. Mm. We just use synonyms, bang in more synonyms, and it's you know, emphatic synonym use, and you know, Peg, for example, was famous for that three word alliterative run where she'd say the same thing three times for emphasis, and that there's no direct English translation for that. So McIntyre does is, well, what's poetry? Let's just strip it bare. Let's just get the fancy bits off this and just strip it right down to the bare bones of a poem and give you, I present you a poem by Newland E. Gonell, translated by Tom McIntyre. And it's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it, of course, is to try and match it syllable for syllable, rhyme for rhyme. But I think you lose something in that essence as well. Like, so
you lose something either way.
You lose something either way, yeah. And what's it going to be? And I think McIntyre's taken the road of least resistance, and at least it gives it a definitive sort of style of its own.
Because this isn't like translating Africa by Toto for Clash de Lurgan, where you have to match musical rhythm.
Well, that's it. Like, da 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 da. Yeah, you do. Like, and to be fair, like when you translate a pop song into Irish, if anything, it's even more difficult.
Yeah, and sometimes those translations are pretty awful, let's be honest.
Sometimes they're terrible.
They're grating.
I know.
I get why they're important. I do get their importance. It's but fantastic. Like some of them, not for me. Mm.
But I suppose the question is, like, do you need to convey what Avicii actually meant in that sense? Or do you just give me something in 2-4 time with a beat so we can sing
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Like? Well, Derek Mayer imagine like a Scal McCree to do run,
the do run, run, run,
run,
the do run, run.
I mean, if you look at the original "Do Run Run" song, it presented some very bad gender norms, which were.
I didn't even know there was an English.
Oh yeah, somebody told me that his name was Bill. To do run run run. Yeah, his name was Bill. Yeah, my heart stood still.
I don't know the English.
Anyway. Sometimes people get in touch and ask me, to translate "Winter is coming" or "May the Force be with you," so they can get a big tattoo on their back. And I always say, please.
You always say, "I'm a Cadogan Dougherty and Larris."
I actually don't, because what I do say is, if you really want an Irish language tattoo, I suggest some pre-existing Irish texts.
Absolutely,
a beautiful expression.
One of those things when you're an Irish speaker that you often get asked is about tattoos, and I
can
would
you
not hold that
my tattoo for me.
That responsibility.
Just listen. Do the grown-up, mature thing. And get Squealamach and Bubbleen tattooed across your back.
Back? Would it not make more sense somewhere else?
I don't know how many words you can fit on yours.
Nuala would love this.
But there is one line which I thought would make a fine candidate for a tattoo or for an inscription or ring, which is from Ulchanugnish. The line is, Tamid Kalcha Sikyokhena. We're lost in the same
beautiful.
Mist. This is a beautiful expression for maybe people who are in love who haven't even met each other yet, or who are going through the same thing, or people who think they're alone but they don't realize their partner's next to them. It's just exquisite.
And that's beautiful.
Tommy
Kalcha Sikyokhena. Nice. Tommy Kalcha Sikyokhena. I love it. But there's so much good stuff here. I think we might have time for one more before we wrap up. And
Nuala has one line. I can't remember the name of the poem, but the first line of it is Tomid Damanta Hadrafiracha, about women like, You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And there's just something about that word damanta.
Damanta.
Like, we are done. It doesn't matter. But she's there for us, She's just, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's absolutely the Irish literary treasure of her generation and potentially any other.
Yeah.
And did you know in the film How to Cheat the Leaving Cert, she has a cameo role in which she does the Irish oral.
She does the Irish oral? Yeah. I haven't seen the movie.
So. No one has. I was an extra in it.
No one has.
Well, no one has lately. It got a bit of notoriety when it initially came out. This one is interesting because the translation, there's a word, Longley uses the word little white petticoats, I think, and she says Tonine Bawn.
Yes, so this is Obad, and Obad is a love poem inspired by the morning. Shakespeare wrote an Obad, and Philip Larkin wrote an Obad, and Luna Lee Ronald gives us the following Obad. Is come a lish on vagin, cadering yalanchi. Na cágan ag brian is ag achran sna crín, ghalógacha. Mardal glasig snáv gatóstalach, im asknan ngilcach in sna curaha, honín bán an chyrkín ishge gubanís as an bowl portig, rilloga ag siúl ga cúramach a hrán amóra. Is cuma leis an grín cadera nairín si, na tithe bríce, in óga de ghlina snitche, I sciarha, I gearn óga siórsica, na sahí bach, I golavú con crach, a yena ver ghardini brúch bálte. Lanúnia óga, fós ag mainfuch, I go hiún, as ag fauna gú blála, I gairi an ísonto. Rúch de gliscanach in a jóra móra, lilias a róisina, de ghúlia. Ach ní koma lingol in íhe réir hart. Is go gafra glacha le peiro de cheolhi lá nio an tlí. Go gafra macht agus crum a síis a rís. Is písi bioga bral súnt ar síl a glúhú le chéile chom éigin. Gun gur féidir le nár leanaí isca ól as báulí briste in nunda das a musa ní cuma linne é. And Michael Longley has translated it as, oh bad, it's all the same to mourning what it dawns on the bickering of jackdaws in leafy trees, on that dandy from the wetlands, the green mallard stylish glissando among reeds, on the moorhen whose white petticoat flickers around the bog hole, on the oyster catcher on tiptoe at low tide. It's all the same to the sun what it rises on the windows in houses in Georgian squares, on bees swarming to blitz suburban gardens, on young couples yawning in unison before they do it again. On dew like sweat or tears, on lilies and roses, on your bare shoulders. But it isn't all the same to us that night time runs out, that we must make do with today's happenings and stoop and somehow glue together the silly little shards of our lives so that our children can drink water from broken bowls, not from cupped hands. It isn't the same at all. And there's a couple of, you mentioned one choice earlier on there, Derek, that Longley says, the moorhen whose white petticoat flickers around the bog hole, whereas Nuala strips the Kirkeen Ishka's petticoat off her and says, Erhonin bon on Kirkeen Ishka, a gubbini sasan bowl, on the little white arse of the moorhen.
Oh, great word,
Tonin bon. Yeah. There's a little in the second stanza. Longley says, "On as the sun rises, on young couples yawning in unison before they do it again." Mm. Whereas Nuala's talking about Lanúna óga fós ag mainfuch I go hiún, still yawning in tune with one another. Is fáinne gúp lála ag éirí an ís unto, and the desire to couple again arising between them.
Oh.
So there's a double meaning there that, they're not talking about yawning in unison before they do it again. Mm. She's saying, no, there's something physically needs to happen before we do
arising.
It again. Exactly. And arising must happen after you've finished yawning, my love. And then the biggest sort of difficulty in translating this is that in Irish it's very difficult to say you care about something.
Exactly, I love that.
It's really, really easy. Yeah, it's really, really easy to say, I don't care. Iscuma. Because iscuma leshan wajin, iscuma leshan green. The sun doesn't care, the morning doesn't care. But
and it's one of those things, if you're not an Irish speaker, that people find quite difficult to understand, that it nearly sounds backwards. Iscumalum is I don't care.
Exactly.
Whereas,
so when Nuala says, ach ni cumalin, it's not, but we care.
Mm.
It's but we don't not care.
Mm.
And there's a very, very subtle and important difference there. Now, Longley tries his best to translate this by saying, it's all the same to the morning, it's all the same to the sun, but it isn't all the same to us.
All the same sounds a little bit throwaway.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
Nuala's has more depth.
There's a lot of depth to iscuma, iscumalum, iscumalum, iscumalum. Iscumalum is I've thought about it and I don't care.
Yeah.
Mm. Used to great effect recently by Kneecap.
Exactly.
It's
come along, so we ain't gardy. There you go. I've thought about the pigs and I don't care about the pigs.
Or the pays.
So and that brings us from Nuala right up to the very present day, and she's as urgent as ever and as wonderful as ever and a goddamn national treasure.
Oh, she's a treasure. She is. And what I do love about her as well is she hasn't softened at all. That interview she did with Radio na Gaeltachta, we might tweet it out from the account.
Oh yes.
It was as tough going as it ever was when Helen Hay asked her about, kind of gender politics when it comes to literature. She gave it both barrels. She just said, you know what, you got to fight. And that's, she said, if you don't fight for what you believe in, you don't get.
Yeah. One thing we do well in the Irish language is we keep our poets poor enough so they still care. we don't ever let our poets get rich enough to become conservative about anything.
Beobucht.
Just the way I like them.
Yeah. There's no disappointing Morrisseys in the Irish language.
That's it, yeah.
Absolutely not.
There's no millionaires in the Irish language.
We'll have none of that. Kneecap can attest to that.
Yeah.
So, and if you are interested in getting your hands on the collection that we've been discussing today, it's called Pharaoh's Daughter, by Nuala McConnell, and is published by...
It's published by Gallery Books, and it is, I presume, available from Gallery Books' website, but certainly you can pick up that and many other collections of Nuala McConnell's poetry in the Shuppalower, Shadarkar, Ivercar. Yep. That's number 4 Harcourt Street in the bottom floor of Conrona Gaeilge's building.
Great stuff. So, in the meantime, it's a slán from me.
Agus slán wimse chuma.
Slán wimse.
Slán wimse. Catch you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of Mother Folklore, the Irish Four podcast and a proud production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. You might be interested to check out some of the other podcasts on our network. Part of the Head Stuff family, there's Juvenalia, No Encore, The Alison Spittle Show, Reviewables, Our Sexual History, Personality Bingo with Tom Warren, and so much more to choose from. Available at headstuff.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And speaking of where you get your podcasts, you can leave us a rating, you can leave us a review, you can leave us some comments on that, and that really, really helps. Give us a share. Tell your friends about Mother Folklore and all the other podcasts. You can reach out to us. You can send us an email to motherfolklore@headstuff.org. You can tweet us at the Irish Four or at Mother Folklore, or get any of the contributors on our individual Twitter accounts. Mother Folklore comes out every Friday. There'll be a new episode every week. Thanks to Kirsten Shield for the amazing artwork, and to Brian on production. And Derek and the gang will be back with you on Teacht an Tuathain. Gramagai.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
I mean, like, fair play to him. I have to say, as far as extremists go, he's one of my favourites.